Good morning. That was great. Good to see everyone. I want to invite you, the guys. We'd like to get as many as possible to go out to the men's conference. That's going to be a great event together. Excited about 1,500 guys gather in Tri-Cities. So if you like to golf, there's going to be golf in there. If you like to do a lot of just, it's a lot of fun. And you get guys in one room worshiping. That's pretty powerful. How many of you done like a Promise Keepers thing? And All right. And but that's just awesome. Trust me, it's great when you get guys in a room and they're worshiping, and you know, it's pretty cool. So I want to invite Austin Wood up to, Austin, you here? Yeah. Give him a hand. Come on. So this young man right here, about 7 months ago now, moved here from, he and his wife, Sadie, moved here from Mill Creek area, and they served, he had a job, and he volunteered, high-capacity volunteer in the kids' ministry. We had Thai food with them one day over the summer and invited them to be a part of our team, and we had just heard rumors that he just was awesome in front of kids, and we were right. And ask him if he would consider, and he and Sadie would consider helping us on the team, helping us get launched in our kids' area. And he's done that, and he's done so well at that. And here's the beauty about Austin. Austin is in a season of transition, but I'm grateful to and happy to announce to you, they're not leaving Legacy Church. Anybody good with that? Yeah. So we liken Legacy Church to a bus, and we just like getting folks that have just some leadership capacity and desire and passion to serve, and they're just have served, and Austin specifically has served in that area with our kids and done a rock star job, and we are so grateful. So he's transitioning from that seat in the bus and just to wherever God would use them, and specifically worship and creative. He's pretty technical as well, and a lot of different gifts. And so that's going to leave a gap. But I just thought, I did not want this to go by without us acknowledging and saying thank you, Austin, for launching our kids' ministry from nothing to what it is right now. Come on, let's give it up for Austin Wood. I love you, man. Come on, give it up. Yes. So I was just really, really happy that, you know, when folks transition, that happens. You know, you move, hey, come on in, try this seat on the bus. And if that seat's not fitting completely, then let's shift you around on the bus and let's move you maybe to this area or that area. And so Austin has just graciously done that for us and has led well. And so be praying with us about this area, the kids' area of ministry. It does not mean we just are leaving it. And by the way, your kids are back there and there's nobody leading it. And so that's not what we're saying. Patty met with a leadership team of parents, and they, like about 10 very, very passionate and high capacity, called of God leaders sat around a table last week that are concerned and are not, they are concerned, but they're just have focus on how can we best impact families in this area and what is God calling us to. And so I'm grateful for Patty's leadership in that and leading those and those parents that are coming alongside and making that happen. So thank you. Be praying with us about that. You know, I thought today as we kind of rolled into, this is our first baptism Sunday as a church. Come on. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. I'm wearing my baptism pants. If you wonder, like these are baptism Lulus, and so anyways, I'm excited about that. They're golf pants, but they will double today as baptism pants. But so here's what's cool. You didn't need to know that, did you? But what's cool about what we're doing today is it's we actually close out this Sunday 6 months as a fellowship here in Liberty Lake. Just six months. Isn't that crazy? Half a year. Does anybody else feel like me, like it's been longer than 6 months? Am I the only one? So yeah, so here we are, 6 months, and I started thinking about started thinking about our journey a little bit. Started thinking about just kind of how God has brought us to this point. And when Patty and I made the decision to, you know what, we're gonna go. We're gonna go. We're gonna do this. We're gonna plant a church in Liberty Lake. And we had no guarantee of who might go with us from our sending church in Coeur d'Alene, Lake City. We didn't know. We had some meetings, and some folks said, "Yeah, consider going with us." And here was the position. Here was the posture of our hearts at that moment. We were just saying to the Lord, "Lord, we just want to position our lives at this season for you to use us, to leverage our gifts and abilities for this season to plant a church." We just want to go for it, and we believe like God was opening up an opportunity, and so we, after traveling around, checking out different places, what we might do, we felt like this is where God wants us to be, and the evidence of that decision, we've just begun to see how God has confirmed that was the right decision in so many ways. Part of that is that the team that he surrounded us with. And by the way, let me just add this. We have outgrown our leadership team. So, you know, we sit around the table and there's like very few of us right now. And we're in a season right now where we're just believing God to just continue to add to the leadership base of Legacy Church as we step into what he's calling us to do. And these folks as well, when they came to us and said, "Hey," like Austin, you know, and others, Colton on our worship team, and Stephen and John, I mean, so many. It was the same heart, see, because it's not just the pastoral prayer that says, "God, position my life to where you can leverage my gifts and abilities in this season." How many know that's just a Christ follower's prayer? That ought to be everybody's. And those of you, and we've been hearing that from you. We've been hearing it from different ones of you who've come up to us from time to time and just reaffirmed to us, we are here because Jesus called us here. We are here because this is where we believe God has us right now. And what a relief it is to hear that? It's like we would tell people, "Listen, we know we like you and you like us and we're friends we're thinking about coming out with you and helping you plant the church." Like, please don't come out unless you hear Jesus and sense Jesus calling you to this moment, to this season. Why? It takes the pressure off us, because now we don't have to try to make sure you're happy. Is everything okay? And is there something more we can do? It's like, no. When things get hard, you just kind of say, "You know what? That's what I signed up for. I signed up for something that we're just believing God is going to do something great." And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to you for that. So I began to make drives back out and forth. If you've been a part of Come to Crash Course, you've heard me share a little bit of this and started praying about what we might do and where we might meet. And I drove by this building down here on Apple Way. It was at that time, it was called the Muscle Man Building, you know, way back when. 7 months ago. It was called the Muscle Man Building. And so it just looked like a great building. I kept telling people, "That looks like a church. That looks like a church. Wouldn't that be great if?" And I got this impression of like a lighthouse, like God was going to call us to be a church. And when I closed my eyes, even now, I can still see that right on the border, a light being dispersed out beyond this area and this region to Liberty Lake and Spokane Valley and Post Falls into, I mean, just this light, the hope of Jesus going forth. And so we just started having, it was kind of like crazy faith. And I would tell people who knew about that building, it's like, "Man, isn't that a big building? Yeah, it's kind of big, but wouldn't it be great if, and we great if?" And I believe God could do that. And so we started praying over that. And every time I drove by, I'm not kidding, I drive by and I just put my hand like this, "Lord, you know, Lord, you," and keep driving and come back this way. "Oh, God," you know, and just believe. And had people gather. We stood literally like kind of the early launch team, and people that were interested in just praying for us. We met down there. We actually drove down in front of that building and prayed like nuts, right? Crazy. Like this is one of those moments, like if this doesn't happen, this can be really crazy, like embarrassing, you know? And so, but we just, and here is the most important thing, the takeaway. We were praying with a kind of heart that said, God, we know you are able to do this. And we were praying the prayer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Very quickly, three guys that would not bow to the, remember, to Nebuchadnezzar, who erected this statue and monument to himself and demanded the people bow down to him. And three godly men would not get dust on their nose and bow to him. And so Nebuchadnezzar got angry. He's going to throw them in a fiery furnace, burn them, end their lives. And their prayer was, you know what, King? You can throw us in that fire, but our God is able to deliver us from that fire. I mean, that's pretty awesome. He said, and then they said these words, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to your idol. I just love that. Like, drop the mic, right? He threw them in the fire and they survived. It was an amazing account. The point is, we were praying down at that building saying, God, we believe you are able to do this. How many of you know God wants us to pray with that kind of, I just call it crazy faith. You know, with that kind of faith that says, God, we need you to go exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think because we believe you are able. I remember standing there just by myself one day, grabbed on the gate, standing on the outside of that building saying, God, and this is really embarrassing. I didn't feel that because I was crying at the moment saying, God, I know you can do this. And God was redirecting our prayer. I had no idea that this building would open up. God does that. Sometimes I just want to know that your heart's in this. I want to know that you're really... And he opened up... So it began with a conversation with the church that was in this building when we showed up. And wanted to launch. I met with the pastor. He said, yeah, you can use the building on Sunday nights. Sure, they use it in the morning. So we launched a church, and we probably broke every church planting principle that there is that you could have. All the gurus say, you know, don't do this, don't do this. Well, so here it is. We launched Legacy Church with night services in the fall going into the dead of winter in the inland Northwest. In a city that we knew no one. In fact, the last couple that we knew lived in Liberty Lake, when we moved over, they sold their home and moved to Hayden. They're not here. And in a borrowed building. In a borrowed building, get this. And you know what happens around in the inland Northwest in the winter? It like gets dark at 3 in the afternoon. So we put all of our signs out on the streets and let people know, man, we're here, new church in town. And it just get dark and everything was shut. It was like dark for 2 hours before the service started. And the only sign that would illumine on the side of the building was the name of another church. That's not how you do it. But we did. We started with two services, 5 and 6:30, and we just did it. And we were working our and planting and believing and praying. And then in December, they came to us and said, you know what, we're going to leave. We're moving. So what? They said, you might want to meet the lease agent. I said, yeah, we might want to. And so we had a conversation. 3 months old, had a conversation with the lease agent who said, yeah, you're welcome to it. And, you know, now your lease is going to go from here to here. But, yeah, go for it. And so we did, and we stepped. See, how many of you know sometimes it's not about being a strategist? Sometimes it's just about being an opportunist. Sometimes it's not about strategy, it's just being ready. So when the door opens, you just go. And we took a step of faith, and we said, yes, let's step into this moment, and we did. And on January 28th, we launched with morning services, and it was like we got rebirthed. I mean, I think God deserves a hand clap for what he's done. Yeah, it's been awesome. And so it was like we got rebirth and people began to come and there's began to get this excitement and you are the miracle. Our 9:15 service just gathered in this place, just about filled up this place. Great crowds. People are coming. And we're seeing God do some great things and redeem his story. It allowed us to, in 6 months' time, to work our vision statement, rewriting futures for generations to come. It's why we're called Legacy Church. Leading the way today in our baptism service, our first baptism service, leading the way will be three kids that are, I'm going to guess, 12 years of age down to 10, right in there. And that's pretty awesome. Yeah. And so their parents have talked to them. They understand the step that they're taking. And it's going to be a great moment to celebrate as a church. And then a young man who God has brought here just sensed the call of God and God raising up his life. Figgy's going to get baptized a little bit later. And just make a declaration of what God's doing on the inside. Rewriting futures for generations to come. Right? So how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to create opportunities. Here's our mission statement. Create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. Create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus. So we get this. We're never bored. Patty and I have never sat at home and, man, what should we do now? We've had some of the most robust conversations in the last 6 months about this place, about what God's doing. I mean robust, like we're both so passionate about what God's doing. We don't want to mess it up. We want his name to be made great. So we're just talking about creating opportunities. We got to create opportunities. We never have to get. Well, let's create an opportunity for people to encounter Jesus. It's been kind of fun because what you do in that is you just begin to listen to the community and kind of learn the ways and the heartbeat of the community that you're in and what's going on there. When we were meeting with the launch team before moving to Liberty Lake, we started writing our values, and value number three, I'm just going to tell you, value number three, before we even knew that this building was going to open up to us. Are you ready for this? Here it is, four words. Value number three, we wrote it down in that meeting. We are on mission. Thank you. What street is this church on? We have no idea. A coincidence? I don't think so. Here I am praying down over here. Oh, God, oh, God. Wait, Gary, value number three, you're on mission. You need to check on mission. Oh, God. God said, you're on mission. Had no idea that he was going to open up this door. Listen to the value statement. Here it is. We are on mission, literally. We will do anything short of sin to introduce people to Christ. To reach people no one's reaching, we have to do things no one's doing. Folks, we don't want to just have church services for church people. That really deserved like a rousing amen. That's right. We don't want to just have church services for church people. We love church people. We're all church. I'm church people. And we can kind of get an insider's club, an insider's language, and man, great to see you. And, you know, but that's not why we're here. We'll do anything short of sin to introduce people to Christ. To reach people no one's reaching, we have to do things no one is doing. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians. I try to find common ground with everyone doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I love that. You know, it's so we're just listening to the community. We're trying to learn the heartbeat. We've sat down with the mayor. We've sat down with the president of the Chamber of Commerce. Sat down with one of the main developers in this Greenstone. Sat down with the main developer. And what's going on? And where's the trends? And where are people moving? And what is? And then you sit down in the kind of the epicenter of Liberty Lake, Starbucks right over there, and you're going to see everybody come through there. Everybody, and just get to know people, and hear. And when they get to know your name and the kind of beverage you want, you're making some traction. It's pretty awesome. We had yesterday, there was an event right here in our parking lot. The police officer, our neighbor next door, called me, and Officer Jeffrey called me and said, hey, is there a chance we could use your parking lot? That's great. Isn't there a chance on and what yesterday's date? And we'd like to. We're going to have cruiser. We're going to cruise cars in, hot rods and whatever, new cars, fancy, whatever. We're going to bring them in. We're going to display them in your lot, in our lot. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? Yeah, it'd be great. Can we make popcorn? Can we hand out water? You see what I'm saying? It's like, what can we do? The fish are jumping in the boat, folks. When the fish jump in the boat, you got to like be ready. Like, what are we going to do? I send a note out to our team. Like, we got to, you know. And so some of us were just walking around, just getting to know people. We're not pulling out bullhorns and preaching to people. Get to church. Just being a friend, right? It's being a friend. So anything short of sin, learning the community, finding common ground. I started asking this question. In fact, on your connection card, you'll notice the last box on the back of the connection card just has empty lines. And my hope is that by the end of this service, God would just begin to lay upon your heart. Because here's what we believe. We believe that the ideas, the creative capacity of Legacy Church, and thank the Lord for this, does not stop with the dude speaking right now. And it goes beyond even our team that is helping us lead this fellowship. It's sitting in these seats. Like, God, what are you doing? You know people I don't know. You have spheres of influence that we have no idea. How can we best reach them with the message of hope and the message of the gospel? And we ask questions like this. So what if we... Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you have a gifting. Maybe you do something that nobody knows. So what if we leverage this facility to reach people in this community? What if we created a way for people to open up and, hey, yeah, use our facility? I told the officer, I said, would you like to use our restrooms? Is there anything we can, do you need us to open up? No. What if we provided a kids' camp in our community? What if we, in the fall, had a trunk or treat right here in our, and just filled up both sides of the parking lot, down the police and up here, and just with full of just fun and blessing and bouncy houses? What if? What if we served our police officers? What if we served the local teachers? What if we gave away backpacks to underserved neighborhoods? What if we renovated teachers' lounges or police office lounges? What if we decided that we needed to be a church that was not only making a local impact, but regional and global reach, like the guy, a missionary, great missionary, who said, the church whose light shines farthest abroad has to shine brightest at home, right? And that's what we just believe God is calling us to. We want our services, our gatherings like this. We want them to be moments where we have great celebration. That's why we love to worship. That's why, man, you see the energy on this. We want that to be infectious, right? The heart of these guys here is to not just provide a show. You don't get that sense. The sense is, you know what? We're here to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I love the heart of our worship team. I think we ought to give it up for them right now and say thank you for leading us. We want our services to be inspirational, where our gatherings are about God and about worshiping Him and lifting Him up and being inspired by His Word. His Word is Word. We want them to be places where there's preparation. In other words, where you can take the messages that are shared and you can actually do something with those, have handles, actually apply it to your life and walk out and leverage that in your life and in your community. And then lastly, salvation, just a place where we always give the opportunity. So we're talking about beyond the four walls and within the four walls. We want to make sure that people are given an opportunity to receive Christ as Lord. We just want to do that. We want to develop and create a culture where people feel safe to say, yeah, you know what? I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And then we give them that opportunity. And say, well, you're just worried about numbers up there. Is that all you cared about is numbers? And I would answer that question, yes. Yes, Yeah, numbers are important. Numbers are important because every number has a name. And every name has a story. Come on. And every story matters to Jesus. Every story, your story matters to Jesus. It's awesome. And there's some amazing stories of God's grace and his mercy in this place. God is doing a good work. Here's the deal. I feel like that God has given us an opportunity. So today is all about this. We're working our way to that baptismal tank, and it's behind you, and so we're going to figure this out as we go along. So some of your time is going to be spent looking this way, and some of your time is going to be spent looking that way, and we're going to spin you a little bit, so it's going to be great. It'll be a lot of fun. But I feel like God is, this is what I believe, God has given us an opportunity. He's given us a window of time. He's entrusted us with being a church on mission. He's entrusted us with leveraging our time, our talent, and our treasure, our resource, to reach this city. He said, Gary, Patty, Legacy Church, I'm going to give you this city and this region if you'll trust me, if you'll pray and believe that I can do all things, that I can make this dream happen. How many of you just believe that with us? How many of you just believe that with us? I believe God can, absolutely. And so that's how we're moving forward. And I feel like that God is wanting to do something. And this always begins. It just begins. It begins in prayer. And I thank God for a great prayer team. And our prayer lead is Barbara Fetter. And she has a heart and a passion to pray. Because here's the deal. We can't do this with head knowledge. We can't do this with gimmicks and little gizmos and gadgets and giveaways, right? I just made that up. Wasn't that great? We can't do it. We have to believe God to give us God-inspired ideas to reach this city, and anointing and calling with called people who are called to be here, who we go shoulder to shoulder to reach a city for God. But it requires a heart, that I have a heart that says, God, when I say, let my heart break for the things that breaks your heart, I think he's always going to point us to people who are far from him. He's going to always point us to people who don't know him. I was thinking about one of the first times we took our kids to Disneyland. And you got just inside the gates, Disneyland, and just below the ivy flower Mickey Mouse, we met with our kids, and we just had a little meeting, all four of them. We got down low, and we said, listen, if we get separated, if there's going to be a lot of people, if we lose you, okay, you need to just stay put where you're at. Because here's what you have to realize. This may be the happiest place on earth, but it's not going to be happy if we lose you. Get this. Mommy and Daddy are not going to get on the next ride without you. We're not going to have any more fun in Disneyland until we find you. I mean, you know, that's just true as a parent. You're not going to have fun. Fun's over. Colton's missing. Right? And you can do whatever it takes. It's like the pastor who was on vacation with his family. There's about 14, 15 of them. And they were going from building to building. They weren't in the best neighborhood. They're outside the country, and they're going and just shopping and eating, and didn't realize that his youngest son, who battles autism, went into the bathroom, and they didn't know he went to the bathroom, and the whole group of them went to the next shop, and the little boy came out of the bathroom, and they were all gone, and he went out of the shop and went the opposite way. Young son, 10 years old. And they began a search, began to look. I think he was younger than by 8 years old. Began a search, panic. The pastor does panic because I knew he would just fall apart if he couldn't find us. began to run around and look, and we went 14, 15 different directions to try to find him. And he says, I was beside myself, ran up to, I saw a security guard. He was leaning up against the wall with both hands in his pocket, and he was just standing there, and I said to him, could you see my son? And I was describing, could you help me find him? You have a phone there, could you help me find my son? And he said, the man looked at him as unconcerned as any human being could ever be in that moment, said, well, did you look at the last place you left him? And this pastor said, you know what? I'm a pastor and I'm a God. I love Jesus. But at that moment, I wanted to take this guy out and then ask God for forgiveness. And here's what he said that I want us to get in our hearts. He said, I was irritated by his inactivity because something of value to me was missing. Suddenly, I understood the heart of God in that moment. His inactivity because something of value was missing. See, I believe God loves to hear us worship, loves to see us in this environment, loves to see the fellowship. But I have the sense that he's not comfortable if our hands are in our pocket and there's inactivity with those he wants, loves, and he wants to draw near to himself. I mean, that makes sense. It's like, I don't want to be that church. I don't want to be that church that looks like a security guard with his hands in his pocket saying, well, did you look for them sinners out there? No. God, let us be about your Father's business. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus is standing before tax collectors and sinners, and we talked about this last week, and Jesus, a friend of sinners, because Jesus is a friend of sinners. Guess what? Jesus is my friend. How many of you would say Jesus is your friend too? Because he's a friend of sinners, he's my friend. And he has an opportunity, get this, he has an opportunity, he's got tax collectors and notorious sinners, Luke 15, he could preach any message at that moment. He could say, you guys need to get in church. You guys need to clean up your act. You guys, and you should, and you ought to be ashamed of you icky sinners. But you know what he did? In that moment, he shared three different perspectives of how God treats lost things. He gave them the story of the sheep. He said he let the shepherd left the 99 and he went after the one. And when he found the one, he put the sheep on his shoulders and he began to walk back. And he said, rejoice with me. He called his friends together because I found my lost sheep. In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents. He's talking to him. And returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. He told a story of a woman who lost a coin. She takes a light and sweeps out every corner until she finds the coin. And when she finds it, she calls her neighbors together and says, come on, I found that which was lost is found. He says, just that's how God is with you. And the last story he tells is, but there's a son who wanted all of his inheritance before his father died, and he took it all and he squandered it all and wasted it all and on riotous living. Realized that when he came to the end of himself in poverty, eating pig's food, he said, even my servants at home have it better than this. Came to his senses, the Bible says, and began the journey home. And I love this. And the Bible says, and when he was a long way off, his father saw him. See, Jesus was sending a message at that moment. The star of the stories is not the lost sheep. Star of the main person in the story is not the coin. Main issue in the story, thing in the story, not the coin. Or the son. It's the posture of the Father when a lost one is found. He's distracted. It's as if he's just like we would be when we're looking. My wife left her wallet in the Uber, dropped us off at the airport, and she couldn't find it. She was struggling, throwing all of her purse out all over the airport. I don't know where to, did you, and we're trying to find it. You have those conversations as a married couple. Well, I don't know. I didn't see it. Did you know, in the airport. Go out there and see if he's still, no, he's not there. I'm calling. We're going to call and look and try to find him. It's just panic. You cannot relax when it does not help in that moment to start thanking God for the things that are found. It's like when you're looking for something like your wallet that's valuable, it doesn't help to say, well, at least there's my couch. Okay, I know where my couch is. It doesn't help because you're looking for it. See, I'm just saying this. I think that the Lord put that in us. That's how I feel when lost ones are not reached. A guy by the name of Philip in the book of Acts ran into a Ethiopian leader. And the Holy Spirit said, walk alongside of him, this Ethiopian eunuch. And he was trying to read and understand the scriptures. People are going to be moving around now as we prepare for baptism. He was awesome. And the Holy Spirit says to Philip, you know what? In fact, let's look at it. Let's read it together. The Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Can I just interject something here? The Holy Spirit is going to whisper something to you. If you hang out at Legacy Church any length of time, we're just going to believe that the Holy Spirit, unquestioned, he is speaking to you about people in your sphere of influence. And he's going to say things like this to you. Why don't you go talk to them? Why don't you have a conversation? Why don't you take her out for coffee? Why don't you seize the moment? Why don't you be an opportunist? Seize the moment and begin the conversation. I love this. That's what Philip does. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. So Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he went on to tell him, no, I don't get it. I don't understand what's being said here. And so verse 35. So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, here's what I love. That there may be somebody here today, even in this moment, in this baptism service, you would say, you know what? First of all, I don't know Jesus. And I want him to be, I just sense his presence here today. And I'm just done doing things my way. I want to follow him and I want him to be Lord of my life. And if that's you, you can actually today invite Jesus into your heart. And not only do that, but you could be baptized. Well, I didn't come prepared. I didn't come prepared to get wet. Well, we've made preparations for you. We've got clothes. We've got shorts and shirts and towels and a changing room. And if that's your heart today, we'd love to pray with you and baptize you. Maybe there's somebody here you say, well, you know, I don't even remember when I was baptized. I've seen pictures of it. My parents told me about it. I was really young. We celebrate here at Legacy Church. We believe in baby dedications, like Hannah dedicated My mind just went blank. Help me. Samuel dedicated Samuel to Jesus or to the Lord, and that's how we do here. If you want to dedicate a baby to the Lord, we don't sprinkle, but because we believe in submersion. Every account of Scripture where baptism is mentioned, there's full immersion in water. Jesus came out of the water. Jesus stepped into the water. He left two sacraments for us to celebrate: communion and baptism. And by being baptized, what we're saying is, I want to celebrate, I'm going to make a public declaration of something that Jesus has done on the inside. And I want to go under the waters of baptism to symbolize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus when I come back up out of that water. Guess what? Maybe like the eunuch, you would say, hey, well, there's some water there. Why wouldn't I be baptized? Why wouldn't I do that? Here's what I love today, and I said this earlier, and we're going to get to it here. I can see everybody going, let's get to it. Okay, we're going to get to it. Our children are leading the way today. A young man, Figgy, is going to lead the way today. Of such as these, the kingdom of heaven is with hearts like the heart of a child. And I'm so excited about that. So if you consider being baptized, why don't you bow your head, close your eyes. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to go back there and the band's going to lead us in a song. If you would like to be baptized today, you've never been baptized, then I'm going to ask you, Candace is at the door right there, at the exit door. She will lead you back. You can get changed real quickly. We will wait for you. We will baptize you today. The only, there's nothing powerful about that water back there. Trust me, it's just tap water. It is what is symbolized there that you're in stepping into that's powerful and life-changing. So I want to encourage you to that. Jesus, give us boldness today, Lord. I thank you for these that are about to be baptized, God. I pray that this would be a marker in their life they would never, ever, ever forget. Thank you for changed lives today. God, may we have the heart of a child in all that we do. The kingdom of heaven is made up of such as these. God, that's the heart we want. Bless them. Use them. You're here today. You would lift your hand up, put it right back down. I want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Gary, would you include me in your closing prayer? Just lift it up, put it right back down real quickly. I want to pray for you as well. I want to pray for you. Is there one? Band's going to lead us. If you want to be baptized, just go back there and check in with Candace. Get changed quickly. We're going to start with these here, and I think we're going to start with a video of our first candidate. So check this out.